1 Samuel chapter 26, 5 through 21. So David arose and came to the place where Saul had encamped. And David saw the place where Saul lay, and Abner the son of Ner, the commander of his army. Now Saul lay within the camp with the people encamped all around him. Then David answered and said to Ahimelech the Hittite, and Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, brother of Joab, saying, "Who will go down with me to Saul in the camp?" Abishai said, "I will go down with you." So David and Abishai came to the people by the night, and there Saul lay sleeping within the camp, with his spear stuck in the ground by his head. And Abner and the people lay all around him. Then Abishai said to David, "God has delivered your enemy into your hand this day. Now therefore please let me strike him at once with the spear right in the earth, and I will not have to strike him a second time." But David said to Abishai, "Do not destroy him, for who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" David said, "Furthermore, as the Lord lives, the Lord shall strike him, or his day shall come to die, and how shall go out, or shall go out into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. But please take now the spear of the jug and the jug of water that are by his head, and let us go." So David took the spear and the jug of water by Saul's head, and they got away, and no man saw him or knew it or awoke, for they were all asleep because a deep sleep from the Lord had fallen on them. Now David went over to the other side and stood on top of the hill far off at a great distance, being before them. And David called out to the people and said to Abner, the son of Ner, saying, "Do you not answer, Abner?" Then Abner answered and said, "Who are you calling out to the king?" So David said to Abner, "Are you not a man, and who is like you in Israel? Why then have you not guarded your lord the king? For one of the people came to destroy your lord the king. This thing that you have done is not good. And the Lord lives, you deserve to die, because you have not guarded your master, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is, and the jug of water that was at his head." Then Saul knew David's voice and said, "Is that your voice, my son David?" David said, "It is my voice, my lord, O king." And he said, "Why does my lord thou pursue his servant? For what have I done, or what evil is in my hands? Now therefore please let the Lord the king hear the words of this servant. If the Lord has stirred you up against me, let him accept an offering. But if it is the children of men, may they be cursed before the Lord, for they have driven me out this day from sharing in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, 'Go serve other gods.' So now do not let my blood fall on the earth before the face of the Lord, for the king of Israel has come out to seek a flea, as when one hunts a partridge in the mountains." And then Saul said, "I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I'll harm you no more, because my life was precious in your eyes this day. Indeed, I have played the fool and earned exceedingly." May the Lord add to the blessing of reading his word this morning. Let's bow our hearts for prayer. Father God, Lord, we pray that you will fill our hearts here this morning of your truth as we look at your word and study your word. Lord, we ask that you will fill me with your words, fill me with your spirit. Oh, may you speak through me this morning in a mighty way, and that we all will hear from you this morning, that we can lift our voices up and praise you and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. In preparation of our message this morning, I did a little research and kind of went online and just to see what they had to say about King David. One of the prominent Christian sites had this to say, and I'll quote read it here to you this morning. It says, King David is one of the most prominent figures in the Bible. He is known for his bravery, piety, and leadership, and is considered one of Israel's greatest kings. David's story begins with a humble beginning as a shepherd boy, but is quickly rose to prominence when he defeated the giant Goliath with a sling and a stone. King David is known for his military conquest, including the capture of Jerusalem, which he made the capital of Israel. Often is referred to as the City of David. David is also known for his poetry and music. He wrote many of the Psalms of the Bible, which are still used in worship today. His music was said to be so beautiful that it could soothe King Saul's troubled spirit. Overall, King David's legacy in the Bible is one of leadership, bravery, and devotion to God. His story inspires many as continues to be studied and admired by scholars and believers alike. It almost sounds like a eulogy at David's at his funeral, if you would. But if you've been doing reading, and I pray that you have kept up with our reading plan and reading 1st and 2nd Samuel, you also see another side of David. David, who was a liar. He was certainly ruthless in battle and often seeking revenge for wrongs of others in particular. He is a man that had many wives. You have to question his sanity in that respect. We soon will see coming up in our reading, if you haven't read ahead, he'll become an adulterer and a murderer, and certainly and a bad father. So we see all this great things said by that website about David, but also, if we remember back in Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, Samuel said these words as he was speaking to Saul after Saul had sinned and disobeyed God. It says, "But now your kingdom shall not continue," talking to Saul. He says, "The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." A man after God's own heart is what God says about David. Now, how do we reconcile what we've read about David and his life thus far? If you read through it again, some great things, right, could be said about David, but some things that are not very complimentary, to say the least, or David was a sinful man at times. Why did God consider David a man after his own heart? If we look back at last week's text a moment, we saw a contrast of Saul, who was prideful and arrogant, right? Became that way, certainly disobedient to God. You could say that really Saul's downfall was the fact that he did not trust in God. He wasn't faithful, right? We left last week's where he disobeyed God and was offering burnt offerings because Samuel had not showed up, and so he decided to take upon it himself to do these things. And, you know, remember what Samuel, when he did come, what he told Saul. He said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better in sacrifice, and to be heed is to be better than fat of rams. For rebellion is a sin of witchcraft and stubbornness and iniquity and idolatry. But if you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from king. Because his disobedience, and his arrogance and lack of faith, God rejected King Saul, right? Well, in contrast, what really we find David is a man of faith, right? One of the first things we discover about David is when he faces Goliath, right? We learned that as children in our Sunday school, right? That was one of the great things. Well, do you understand what David did there was under faith, right? And he even proclaimed that. He had faith in God that he would deliver Goliath. And in fact, he gives credit to God. And as he goes after Goliath in 1 Samuel 17, verse 40-17, he said these words, "Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." In other words, David had faith in God, and a mighty faith, not that he could do something, but God would deliver Goliath, right? That God would take care of the situation, defeat Goliath. And so here he trusted in God. And so here is a picture of David with a man of faith who is in the heart of God, of God's heart, in the fact that he trusted God. He had faith in God. He trusted in a sense that he trusted God's providence. He trusted God that God knew what was best. And in our text today is a picture of that, right? As he respects the king, King Saul, and he points out, David said to Abishai, "Do not destroy him, for who can stretch out a hand against the Lord, anoint it, and be guiltless?" David said, "Furthermore, as the Lord lives, the Lord shall strike him, or his day shall come to die. He shall go out to battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed." In other words, David understood that God would take care of Saul, right? It wasn't for him to even though God gave him opportunities. This was the second time. He, in the cave, he had opportunity to take care of Saul, if you would, to kill him. And ideally, you would think that would solve all his problems. But David trusted God and his sovereignty and his providence, and that God had a plan and God would fulfill what would be needed, because he knew that God had anointed him to be king. And so God would bring that about. And I think that's a great reminder to understand that if we want to be of God's heart, we need to trust him. We need, as we talked about the church, you know, we need to trust. God will come, will bring about what he desires, right? That we just need to beat it and trust him and believe. And here David is the example of after being God's heart, in the sense that he trusted in God's plan, or his God's providence. David was a humble man as well. We see very much in David's battles how he humbled himself and understand this was God delivering in the battles that he was in. In 2 Samuel 7:8, David went and sat before the Lord after Nathan told him that God was going to extend his dynasty forever. And David prayed in 2 Samuel 7:8 says, Then King David went and sat before the Lord, in other words, prayed, and said, "Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me this far?" In other words, David understood that God had put him in the position and called him king and delivered Goliath, and God had delivered all his enemies that he had battled against, and time after time, and God was protecting and taking care of him, even though his situation was, he was had to flee from Saul and all those things could look bad, but God was there. God was in it all, right? And David was humble enough to give God credit, right? He wrote in Psalm 62, again, David shared his heart many times in his Psalms, Psalm 62. It says, verse 9, it says, "Surely men of low degree are vapor, men of high degree are lie. If they are weighed on scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor." In other words, David understood that we all, right, before God, a righteous and a holy God, we're nothing, right? And David understood that even though that God was anointing him as king, he would come a ruler of all Israel and with great power, it was about God, right? What was it that he had? The heart of God was that he looked to God and God was God. Psalm 8, 4 and 5 again. He says, "What is man that you are mindful of him, that the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor." David, again, understood, you know, what is man? What are we that God should care about? What are we that God would send himself or send his son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to die and suffer for our sins on a cross? Why are we worth it? You know, David understood what an awesome God, what a loving God, what a God that would do these things for us. He humbled himself. And again, after God's own heart. David was a man of integrity. He took responsibility, right? When Saul pursued him and David lies to Amalek, the priest, if you remember that portion, which you'll find in 1 Samuel 22, and he lies to the priest and gets food for his men, and again, it's where he receives Goliath's sword from him, and David lied about that he was on a mission by Saul when he really wasn't, right? And what ended up happening, Saul found out about it, and it ended up 85 of God's priests were killed by Saul because they helped David, right? In 1 Samuel. And then David learns of this and he admits his fault and takes a responsibility. And in essence, the one survivor that was of those priests that came to him, he made a point that he would protect that one priest since he had sinned. And exposed the fact that he had caused those by his going there and lying and caused those priests to be killed. We'll find out as we read in this coming week as David is exposed by adultery and murderous act by in 2 Samuel chapter 12, the very thing that when Nathan came to expose it before David. So David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Chapter 12, verse 13. So we find that David was not only humble, but he had integrity. In other words, he did sin, right? He did go wrong, but he did admit to it. And he owned up to his sin and he understood his sins was before God. That was the real sin, and that he would admit to it and ask for forgiveness. And then he did ask those forgiveness. In Psalm 51, David, after being exposed by Nathan the prophet, Psalm 51, he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." Right? this is an example of God's own heart. He doesn't, God knows that we are human, that we are have sin nature, and that is in us, and we're battling in this world. But God's wants from us is that when we recognize that we sin, when we're convicted of our sin, that we confess it, and that we ask for forgiveness. In other words, we come before God and admit it, Lord, you know, have mercy on me, for I have sinned. Psalm 25, David wrote, "It's for the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great." Right? We need to have a heart of God, in the sense of God's own heart is that we're honest, and that we realize that we all sin, and that when we sin, we come before a holy God and admit that sin. And that's what God wants us to do, right? He wants us to be real and not try to put on airs, or that we're not sinful, and that we don't sin, and that we just need to be honest and right before God. Another aspect that after God's own heart was that David worshiped God, right? He made awful, terrible choices, even when he sinned and with Bathsheba, and he brought about much heartache within his family and his nation, right? He never stopped worshiping God, though. You may recall back in chapter 6 of 2 Samuel, where David brought the Ark of Covenant into Jerusalem, right? And in verse 5 it says, "Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord, and all kinds of instruments of fir wood and harps and stringed instruments and tambourines and psalms," whatever that is, "and cymbals." Again, David was not afraid to worship God and to bless God and worship Him and reach out to understand that God is worthy of our worship. In Psalm 51, he wrote, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. You do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, and these, O God, you will not despise." What is worship to God but to come to God and humble ourselves and to with a broken heart and realizing who we are before a holy God, but also who God has come, and that who are we that you should bless us? Who are we that you would save us? And when we come to God, it's His throne, and to realize that we can't help but to praise Him. We can't help to reach up and say, "Praise you, God, for saving me. Praise you, God, for what you've done in my life and the many blessings that you have blessed me with." This was kind of who David was, right? He understood who God was. He realized his righteousness did not come from his actions, but the love and his submission of God. In other words, our sanctification as believers in Jesus Christ, God is trying to make us more like Jesus, and we're only more like Jesus because of Jesus. We're only more like God because of what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. We need to celebrate that, right? To be of God's heart, we need to be God-focused. If you really want to give a eulogy of who David was, he was God-focused, right? He looked to God for everything. He gave God credit for everything. For God deserves the credit. He deserves our worship. He deserves our understanding that God is everything, right? And our lives should reflect that. And as we look at David's life, those nice things that were said online and those things, yeah, they're true, right? He was an honorable man, and he killed Goliath and did all these wonderful things. But to me, that was looking at David in the eyes of man. We need to look at David in the eyes of how God sees David. How did God see David? And God saw him after a man after his own heart, right? A man who glorified God, a man who tried to do his best for God. He failed a lot, but he was humble enough and he was honest enough to come before God and says, I have sinned against you, Lord. And this is what God asks us. Right? God doesn't expect us to be perfect, right? Sometimes we get beat ourselves up and think, well, you know, I did this or I thought this or what have you, right? Admit it. Go before God and say, God, I failed you. God, forgive me. And we understand that God is a God who has grace and mercy for us all, right? His grace is new every day. His mercies are new every day and renewed in our lives. And when we realize that, then we can come before God and worship Him, right? We can come before God and say, thank you, Lord. I don't deserve it, but you have given it, right? You have blessed us. And the fact that we need to go through our lives being God-focused, right? Understanding that God He has given our heartbeat today, right? He has given us breath and air to breathe and a place to come and worship and food to eat and blessings upon blessings. And we just need to understand that and recognize that and acknowledge that in our lives. And so, you know, we don't want to think about our eulogy or what have you that someone might want to say about us when we're at our funeral or graveside, what have you. But what we want people to say, you know, he or she knew God. He or she glorified God in their lives in the way they did. And they would say of you, you know, I saw a little bit of God through them. As all those wonderful words that others have talked about David, I'm sure David would want us to recognize why he was of God's heart. Because he glorified God and God was worthy of the praise and a recognition that David was just David. God made him what he was. God has made us who we are and what we can be if we will acknowledge it and live it. Amen. Amen.